Gentlemen, we're now recording. We're live on the air.
It's 8:45. This is, we're supposed to open at 9 o'clock. I know we have been. All right, if we can call them in order. I suppose the first order of business would be to approve the minutes from Tuesday's meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
There's a motion to approve the minutes of Tuesday.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 I'm going to abstain.
You were not here?
I wasn't here.
Aye. Four and up. 4-0 with one abstention. I think the main thing most of us are trying to do is to try to digest down the volume of this information that's to be used at 9 o'clock. Is there something else that you would like to take up before that time?
Regarding the location of the Branson Landing TIF, after review by our legal counsel, along with the mapping of the legal description of the TIF area, it has been concluded the TIF goes to the Lake Taneycomo shoreline. This would not include any docks floating on the lake. So I'd like to have a motion to withdraw this TIF project.
Have they requested that it be withdrawn?
Well, they're acknowledging that. This is the letter that they sent, and they're asking, or they're agreeing with us.
Yeah, but they haven't asked to have it withdrawn, so...
They weren't on the schedule, were they?
You say this came by email?
I emailed you, yes.
I checked my email at 11 o'clock last night.
Obviously, the motion to deny would be more in order than a motion to accept the withdrawal, because they haven't asked to withdraw.
That's fine.
But I didn't think it was on the agenda.
Is there a case? I mean, have we got a case number or anything?
Do we have a VOE number?
This is one that I... No. This is what I presented to you the other day.
Right.
I told you, well, I went and talked to them. They were supposed to respond by the 30th.
Right.
So they've responded.
We talked about it, and I talked to Sheila Wyatt. We talked to Rick McConnell from Gilmore and Bell, and he was going to get it to us by today. And they've gotten it to us, and they agree that it's not in the TIF. They're not officially withdrawing. They haven't officially, I guess, appealed, but it'd probably be best to deny it. I mean, just to be safe.
This is an appeal? To what? Take out of the...
Basically, they're saying that because it is owned, it is in the TIF area.
It is not in the TIF
area. Right. It's basically this document's this defining is, the TIF district.
This is a taxable
entity. And it stops
entity.
at the
shoreline, not the docked items down at the landing area.
But Dave has a good point. They haven't actually appealed.
Okay. James Strahan sends documents to me every day that I bring to you.
Right.
Sheila Wyatt presented two documents, or parcels, she believed was in the TIF area based on conversations she had with the legal counsel for City of Branson. So they were contacted. I contacted them, asking if they were going to come before the board on this issue. This is the response to that.
Okay, well, I move that we accept the City of Branson's statement that they agree with the property not being in the TIF district, and we accept that.
That's a good motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 I'm going to abstain, 4-0, because I did not receive that email. It passed 4-0.
Don't feel offended, Dr. Rose. I never received that letter either.
I checked my email at 11 o'clock last night.
You received, I forwarded an email from them to you. The letter was in my office today. The email
said I don't know where it went.
I just got mine this morning.
You got yours this morning.
Well, I was assuming that if the assessor is the one to establish this stuff, he should have been contacted. If we're the one that established the TIF district, My mappers is the ones that said it. So this is part of the problem. The assessor's left out in the cold on a bunch of verbal decisions. I appreciate your vote this morning on the board.
I think the city of Branson's statement that it's not in the TIF agrees with your mapper. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
But this means that the, for instance, the Shorty Small Restaurant and those things that are on a dock-type thing past the shoreline are not in the TIF.
That'd be correct.
It's bringing revenue directly to the county instead of going into the coffers of the TIF.
Well, actually, not to the county, right? To the
taxing district. Me, you used to say very interesting.
Sewer district.
Right.
Road district. Everything.
Right. All the districts. Right.
Terry Walden is our first appointment.
Carrie Walden, okay.
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen, Ms. Neely. This morning, I'm here to present appeals on behalf of 425 parcels in Taney County. I've presented this morning, and it was sent to you yesterday, a packet of information containing various data charts and a legal memorandum. Before we get started, I just kind of want to give you some background. I'm an attorney here in Branson, and my firm represents quite a few condominium owners associations and developers in the county. And over the course of the last 4 to 5 months, it became pretty apparent that many of the parcels involved in those developments had their valuations increased by a significant amount since the 2007 reassessment year. At that time, we started looking at various data sources that included the county information systems databases, as well as various sales databases gathered through the multi-listing service. So that's the general background to what you'll hear this morning. I'll do my best to give it to you in a concise and organized manner so you know what BOE appeal numbers we're discussing, as well as what data that I'll be presenting relates to each BOE number. Please, if you have a question or if you're not sure which number of BOE appeals I'm speaking of, please stop me. I know this is a lot to get through this morning, and I appreciate you allowing me to do this in a hopefully what will be an efficient manner on a parcel-by-parcel basis, but hopefully we can get through this expeditiously.
Mrs. Walden, will there be group appeals, or will they be individual sections, or will you have certain groups of condos and parcels separately? Will you have groups of condos that we will make a decision on, a group appeal?
Of course, that's your decision on whether or not you make the motion on each parcel or you make it on a group. But the way it's been organized and the way I understand from Ms. Neely, we provided a list of the parcels to the clerk's office along with the BOE applications. They assigned a BOE application number or appeal number to each parcel. So there is an appeal number for each individual parcel. What I will try to do today, though, is present them on a group basis. And what the primary categories that we'll be discussing this morning are residential condominiums, condominium units currently classified as commercial, then residential lots, and then there are some various commercial lots and some golf course parcels.
That's the answer to my question, that you're going to be doing them in groups, basically categorized.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
And gentlemen, you don't have any copies because it would have been 1,200 sheets per person. So it's all scanned on here, and Jim's going to guide us through it with Carrie's help.
Are there any other questions before I get started this morning, gentlemen? Thank you. What I would like to begin with this morning is the packet that you have here. It's shown also on the screen. It contains an index, and this is just the general outline of what I'll be going through this morning. What I would like to first discuss are the issues of uniformity and inconsistency in the valuations of the parcels. The arguments that we'll discuss initially here apply to every parcel that I've appealed. So all 425 parcels that I represent, these initial arguments apply to.
I'd hate to interrupt, but I don't believe this board has the ability or decision-making factor on uniformity in Taney County. I think I think this is a presentation that needs to go straight to the state, since they're the ones that apply uniformity laws. And I don't believe any description or account of what's happened in the condominium market versus the assessor trying to achieve market value over the last two or three cycles has any decision-making process before this board at this time.
I respectfully disagree, Mr. Strahan. If you look at page 9 of the legal memorandum, or of the packet that I provided you, contains legal memorandum on pages 9 through 15. The very first section in that legal memorandum discusses the authority and the duty of the Board of Equalization to hear appeals such as the ones you'll be hearing this morning. It's very clear in section 138.050, subsection 2 of the Missouri statutes. That particular section of the Missouri statutes say the Board of Equalization at the county level shall reduce, it's an obligation of the Board of Equalization to reduce the valuation of such tracts or parcels of land or any tangible personal property which, in their opinion, has been returned above its true value as compared with the average valuation of all the real and tangible personal property of this county. Now, while it's true that the State Tax Commission is responsible for equalization across the county, it is the duty of the Board of Equalization in each particular county to not only look at the value and the classification prescribed to each parcel, but also to look on the whole at the values of the parcels as they compare to the other parcels within the county. So I respectfully disagree, and you can refer this to Mr. Paulson, but I do believe that the statute is clear. The Board of Equalization has a duty. It's also very clear in the State Tax Commission's guidelines that one of the things the Board of Equalization is supposed to do is to look at the overall value of all the parcels in their county. That's your job as the Board of Equalization.
So you're asking this board basically not to just hear your 485 cases. You're asking this board to now review the entire county to establish the values of your 485. Are you a certified appraiser, or is a certified appraiser did any of this?
Mr. Strahan, what I'm asking the board to do today is review the valuations on the 425 parcels I've appealed. I will present data related to sales letters provided to the assessor's office, as well as some averages in relation to the overall county. I've not asked the Board of Equalization to reappraise the entire county. Should they choose to do that, that's, I believe, within their power, but that's not what I've asked for this morning.
Wouldn't an argument of uniformity be the entire county?
That's and certainly up to the Board of Equalization, but I do not believe that that's what we're requesting this morning.
So there's no misrepresentation?
Yes.
Mrs. Walden, you are representing a group of individuals. Are these, this large group, so that the news media doesn't have a misperception of what's going on and show that there is a group of individuals that are here protesting the taxes, I'd like for you to look over the crowd. Is Mr. Ruda who you're representing?
No, I'm not representing Mr. Ruda on these
okay.
appeals.
Okay. Are the other members? Is there other members in this crowd that you're representing?
I don't know each of them by name, so there very well could be. I can tell you that each of the parcels are either owned by a single individual or an entity. It's not one particular organization or group that I'm representing. It's each individual who's hired me separately to represent them this morning. It's my understanding that through the clerk's office and the organization here at the county that it would be easiest to deal with the parcels this morning because the arguments are very similar to deal with them together, but not because they're a group organized together. They are individuals that own their property as individuals.
Now, I don't know that we've been able to do this, but are you implying that we have not considered the other values and what's happening around this county?
No, not at all, sir.
This committee has been torn apart now for over a month with what to do to try to equalize and try to be fair about it. Maybe we haven't always got it right. I don't know. But when I look at your first thing here, I don't see anything in large things like Point Royale, Lakewood Estates, Holiday Hills. This seems to be you've gone out and picked up certain areas that may have problems, and they may be even unique problems because of their sales techniques or thinks that we're done.
Sir, I'm certainly not suggesting that you have not considered the values of the other parcels in the county. What I'm saying is this morning, the first argument I'd like to discuss are the values of the parcels that I've appealed as compared to some of the other data in the county.
Okay. Carrie, you're not arguing that the values placed upon those properties are incorrect as to true market value. Your argument is that the values placed should be reduced when they're compared to the average valuation of all real and tangible personal property of the county, and you would have to do some sort of study of all real and tangible personal property of the county in order to compare that with what the true market value of each individual property that you're presenting should be, correct?
That's one of the arguments this morning, yes.
Okay. Well, I would ask, before we get started, so there's a full understanding of what's going on, if you, sir, Mr. Rose, would ask every board member to define uniformity. You're going to be asked to make a decision on something. I don't believe there's one person up there on this board can define the word uniformity and what it means. This is not an educational class this morning. You gentlemen are put up here to determine value, and all of a sudden, when you go to looking at uniformity, you're determining value of this entire county. I know enough about the definition to know what it is. This is a comparison of values. If Mrs. Walden proves her point of uniformity, there's two steps you will be able to take. You can either lower her values, or you're going to have to come back and raise the other values. There's two-way street on uniformity, and she will be arguing, I'm sure, for her clients to lower theirs, but your decision will be if she can put on a good enough argument that everybody else in this county will have to be raised to correct the uniformity problem.
We've gone through some of that before. In fact, in a couple of cases where we have raised the value of certain property. In fact, I recall one applicant who said, I think we've shot ourselves in the foot when they presented information that proved that the property was worth more than it had been assessed for. So, all right, but go ahead.
Are there any other questions? Thank you. What I'd like to look at this morning, if you wouldn't mind, is go to page 2 of the packet that you have. Page 2 shows a general average, and I'll go into more specifics, but I wanted to give you an overview initially of what we're discussing. And again, as I mentioned earlier, according to the statutes, the Board of Equalization's job is to look at the values as compared to like property and all the other property in the county. So what you see here is on the left side, the yellow bars that you see are the average sales prices of property that fall into that county, or that fall into that category, excuse me, and the green bar are the average market values assigned by the assessor's office to those exact same parcels. So this is a parcel-to-parcel comparison. This is not taking an average where you're looking at two different types of parcels, just so we're clear. This is data that has come from sales occurring in 2007 and 2008. On the left side, if we'll just work left to right on this chart, you'll see the Branson residential parcels that are non-condominium. So anything that was not a condominium unit but that was classified as residential for the year 2009 but had sold in 2007 and 2008. So if you look at the yellow bar there, you see that the average sales price for those parcels was $180,868. In 2009, in the reassessment year, the value attributed to those exact same parcels, the average was $97,477.69. And you can see pretty clearly from those bars that is approximately 57% of what the sales price was.
Now, was this a mean or median?
This is a median. So what you'll see here is that as we work across for the condominium units during the same period, if they sold between 2007 and 2008, their average sale price inside Branson was $95,752.75. and the value assigned to those parcels for 2009 was $75,172.61. So the average ratio between the sales price and the value assigned by the assessor for the non-condominium parcels was approximately 56%, but on condominium units, it was 75%. So you've got a difference there of about 20% between the value assigned by the assessor's office and what it actually sold for. Okay? The same data applies. The next two sections are the outside of the Branson city limits. The reason I presented it this way was because the condominium units I've presented today are all sitting inside of the Branson city limits. But I wanted to give you a feel for the fact that the same ratios apply whether you're inside of Branson or outside of Branson and looking at a county-wide ratio. Are there any questions in relation to this chart?
I've got a question.
Okay.
I see you put the res non-res condos on here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've taken the Branson res condos and run a value. What year is that?
Those are all sales that occurred between 2007 and 2008 on the yellow bar. And on the green bar, those are the average market values assigned in 2009.
So your graph is showing that this board should raise residential property by 47%, basically, in the downturn of this economy and that started in 2008. I don't know whether this board should absorb such a thing. First of all, I don't see the Branson Res commercial condos. If you showed that same chart for 2007, wouldn't it be strictly reversed that they sold for about twice what they are selling?
We're not talking about 2007.
I know, we're not talking about that, but that is a part of the picture.
No, it's not.
That's not been shown up here.
Mr. Strahan, this is 2009. 2007, the valuations assigned in 2007 applied to the taxes for 2007 and 2008. In 2009, I've been told by you and many others that in 2009, there's no assumption that your value was correct in 2007 and 2008. So in 2009, we have to start over.
State's same chart shows that condo were at 50% of value in 2007 and they had to be raised. Why is that not up there?
Sir, the reason it's not up there is because it's not 2007. It is now 2009. And what I would submit, and I'm glad you said it, is that in a downturn economy, what has happened is that the residential parcels in the county that sold in 2007 and 2008 were left at 50% of what they sold for, but condominium units were raised up to 75% of what their market value was. So if what Mr. Strahan is saying is true, and the condominium units were too low in 07, and they've been raised up for 09 to closer to market value, then the same should have been done for the residential parcels that are non-condominium. They're all classified residential. The statute very clearly says that you're not to create further subclasses of parcels within the same subclass. These are all residential classified parcels in Taney County. So,
I agree with what you're saying in the sense, the one thing that bothers me up here, I recall a statement I used in class many times. There are three classes of evidence, lies, damn lies, and statistics. And it worries me when I see something like the non-condo on the left.
Yes.
That there's so much more difference between individual homes from the lowest small house to the biggest mansion.
Mm-hmm.
That you've got a big difference in here. That I have some distrust as to how important, not seeing the raw data, that, you know, you take a couple of million-dollar mansions out there and you can skew something like this a great deal.
That's absolutely true, Mr. Rose.
And the concept of you have, I think I can buy. But maybe this has been done. I don't know. But go ahead.
What I'm saying here is that I completely understand and I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is that in each of those averages, we took a parcel-by-parcel comparison. So if it were that there was a $2 million home, that should have skewed the average on the valuation set by the assessor's office as well. So if you, we're looking at, if a house is sitting on a corner of a street and it's sold for $200,000, it's assigned a parcel number by the assessor's office, that then that same parcel should have a value close to what it sold for. I mean, that's the idea. So
I think we already have recognized some of this, because over the last, almost 6 weeks now, we have had many more complaints by condo owners than by individual home residence owners, which would indicate to me that perhaps they got hit harder. But I don't know. But that would seem to indicate such.
I'm concerned with the information. I know we work statistics to death. Statistics are a wonderful thing to give guidelines by. Appraisals and statistics are two different things. Mrs. Walden has established these charts with statistical analysis. In the appraisal world, you cannot even use those numbers unless they're verified in the field by an appraiser. So who's to say that this occurred during the time an assessor was putting a new value on? There's never been not a word said about new construction taken out of these values on this chart. There's not, and I believe Mrs. Walden can tell me, there's not one confirmed sale that's been visited by an appraiser on this chart.
That's true. Well, I mean, that I'm aware of. That doesn't mean that there hasn't been an appraiser go to the parcels. But I personally have not hired an appraiser to go to the parcels.
But this is just strictly a statistical analysis done at a desk comparing numbers.
That's true. And I think when we get to a further chart here, you'll see that this same data holds true for the letters that are sent out by the assessor's office questioning a purchaser on what they paid for a parcel. They're not required to send it back in, but for those people who provided that information, you'll see that these same ratios hold true and actually are worse.
I want to ask you a question. Sure. You brought up a very interesting analysis of what you're trying to compare things.
Okay.
When you said the house on the corner compared to a condo unit that sets in Branson.
That's not what I said, Mr. Schreiner.
Yes, you just got through saying a house that's set on a corner. Didn't you?
Okay.
Didn't you?
I was saying that the sales price as compared to the market
value. The
sales
price of a house sitting on a corner compared to a condo. I have friends, very few since I've come into office, but I have friends that have bought condos that lay within the Branson area strictly for speculation that they were going to increase in value. They bought those same condos, they themselves, for $189,000. You mentioned the $200,000 home. They sold those same condos for $300,000+, some of them for $400,000+. So what does that do to your chart when they do something like that?
Mr. Schreiner,
so, because you're using the green line for the residential.
No, you're misconstruing what the chart says.
That's not what she.
Yeah, but make sure I understand. She's comparing the same properties in the green and the yellow per section. So it's the same parcel, sale price versus assessed value, is what she's saying. Is that what this is?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. What does the house, the $200,000 home, when you referred to the...
Okay, let me try it, just so I understand. You correct me if I'm wrong. Let's not say $200,000 house. Let's say it's the house that is the $180,868. That's the house on the corner. What it sold for, it's on the books for $97,000. That same house that sold for $180,000, she is stating in her statistics that it's showing up for $97,000 on the same parcel. That's what her argument is. Is that right?
That's correct.
And that's with your statistics of your querying whatever data collection you use.
The data collection of Mrs. Walden came through the courts of Jefferson City.
That's absolutely incorrect.
We've seen where you requested it. I don't believe I've furnished you any information on sales letters out of the assessor's office that would reveal any numbers such as is up there. MLS had been provided to you that was not provided to the assessor and has never been provided to the assessor.
That's okay. And that's now, then go ahead, Mr. Olmert.
I thought a lot of this information you gave us was based on information you said that you got from the Tri-Lakes Board of Realtors MLS.
It was incomplete of the entire list. The entire MLS list is 2,000 or 3,000 or 10,000. This information I've been providing you was provided me, not entirety to the MLS. I tried to join MLS to keep values correct. MLS denied the assessor having this information, and we split the vote with the MLS 51-49 not to allow the assessor to have it. Now it's coming back as information to harm the assessor that the MLS is out there and these studies are being done on.
Well, when we were assessing certain properties,
yes,
you provided sales information to us based on MLS for those particular properties, a particular condo or a particular house. That
That's correct.
MLS for that, not for the overall county, but for that. And then on another type property, you provided that.
You will see that I also provided you in a certain condo setup you were referring to here, information coming to the assessor's office that confirmed the MLS listings.
Right.
So it is not that I took any MLS listings. I took what every citizen in this county should be governed by, the information they provided. The MLS listings is just a confirmation of what I had on the actual true money that came in.
But that's what I'm saying. The MLS information is correct information based on actual sales.
That's correct information. That's correct information.
We have made a lot of our decisions the past 6 weeks off.
But in the process of things, there's such a thing as trimming. And I'll guarantee you there's no trimming in this chart where you cull out the highs and lows and come up with the median.
That's the reason I asked the question whether it was a median or a mean. If it's a true median, it means that the high and low kind of are thrown up, where you can have a skewing of the data if you're using an arithmetic mean.
This chart is telling you that you gentlemen need to raise residential property by 43%.
Gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just continue on and then go ahead.
That's what I was
okay.
going to say. I would like to go ahead and have
sure.
you give your entire presentation,
sure.
and then we will come back and question any part
okay.
of it.
The chart that you were looking at before was a parcel-to-parcel comparison, sales price to market value assigned by the assessor, okay? Now, arguably, there's MLS data that maybe wasn't available to the assessor's office. But what I would show you is on page 3 of your packet. It's the chart shown up here that says 2007 sales letters percentage of sales value. This is information obtained from the county. This is not our own data mining. This is information obtained from the Information Services Department at the county level. We've obtained all of the valuation data from 2005 to 2009 on all 48,000 plus parcels in the county. Okay. One of the pieces of information that we obtained were the values assigned to the parcels where the assessor's office sent a letter to a purchaser of real estate, and on that questionnaire, many of you have probably received it, it says, what did you purchase your property for and when did you buy it? Okay, for those sales letters that were returned back to the county, so this is only the sales letters that were returned back to the county, what we've done here is compare the value on that sales letter. So if I personally bought a house for $100,000, I returned my sales letter back to Mr. Strahan for $100,000, then the question is, what happened to that value at that time? Okay? So if we look at this chart, the bar on the left side, if a sales letter was returned and it was a residential non-condo parcel in the county, it was assigned a value at 78% of what that sales letter said.
Okay? I object to that phrase that she just used. I never assigned a value at 78%, and that's the trend that this audience is hearing. They don't understand the valuation process. She just said, I assigned a value. I assigned a value that may have medianed it at that, but the assessor never said, I'm going to set this value at 78%. That's just for clarifications only.
So if we're looking at an average of the sales letters that were returned, the residential properties in the county that were non-condominiums were given a value on average of 78% of what that sales letter said. Okay? The same period of time, a sales letter came back, I bought a condominium unit for $100,000. The value shown today on the books is $96,000. So even in the same period of time, for those individuals who were honest enough to return their sales letter and provide information to the assessor's office, it was not used in the same manner. If you look across there, I've provided you residential on the whole, condo on the whole, and then various condominium properties and Branson Hills Estates, which are residential lots throughout the county. The reason you have these property-specific charts is because that's what I had the most sales letters for, and that's where the majority of these appeals came from. The individuals that I'm representing own property.
How did you gather this data?
This was provided to us. We made an information request to the county through the IS department, and they provided us with the data.
Could you explain the boardwalk?
What's it?
I put on something at 200% its value?
On average, yes.
You're absolutely, positively giving false information, even on the sales. We know we have the boardwalks at right now at somewhere around 90%, and if it's at 188%, it's before the studies was done to value the properties. And Kerry, you know that there's no condominium that sold for $500,000 at the boardwalk that I put on for $1 million, and that's what you're trying to express here, and that is absolutely false.
I have the spreadsheets printed out here, and I can show you very easily, I believe.
Check your 09 values, and you should have brought your charts for the 09 values.
There's not one condominium
that's been doubled in price at the boardwalk.
This is, okay, just so we're clear, that's not the change in the value assigned. What that is if a sales letter was returned, what is the value for 09? What's the relationship between this, what the sales letter said and what the value is set at today?
Kerry, if one sales letter came back and say it was a distressed sale or something that sold for an abnormally low price and you only had one sales letter and the other sold for their normal price, it could easily skew the figures and show that it sold that they're at 188% of the value because the sales letter showed an abnormally low value.
If somebody returned a sale, all I can tell you is what a person said on a sales letter and what the assessor's value is set at today.
Right.
That's what this chart shows.
Excuse me, I'm still confused.
Okay.
Where the data came from. I'm not denying the data one way or the other. But in other words, you were able to access the number of people. Can you tell me?
It's a public.
Because I bought a condo.
It's a public record, Dr.
Years.
Rose.
Yeah,
it's
they did a public request and they get all this data from the county.
People that return people are requested. We see that there's a sale in the books. Okay, that you purchased a piece of property. Would you send us back something that says that what you bought it for? So they send back and they say this is what the sales price was. Now you're taking their word for it, but that's what that information
no, my
is.
My question is this. I bought a condo almost 3 years ago.
Okay.
Is my data in there? I honestly do not know whether I sent back a letter or not.
If you returned one.
If you did not return a sales letter, she is not using that data according to what she is saying.
If the sales letter she's got in there shows 188% increase at the boardwalk, it is a skewed sales letter and should have never been used in appraisal.
Mr. Strahan, it's not the percentage of increase. That's not what this shows.
I thought you said 78.23 was the percent that the values the assessor set on.
What I said was, and just so we're clear, this is very similar to the first chart we looked at where it was a comparison between what the sales letter said and what the valuation set was. This has nothing to do with how the value changed over time. This is purely if you purchased a piece of property, you received a sales letter, and you returned the sales letter. If I'm sitting there and I have data on a sales letter that says this parcel sold for $100,000, then the question is, what value was assigned to it in 2009?
The median unit in the boardwalk is assessed at 188% of the sales letter that was returned or sales letters that were returned. So if the sales letters are off, then that skews the figures. But if the sales letters are accurate, then he's at 188% of the sales letters. But you're basing your information on the sales letters that were returned.
Yes. The point of this chart is to say that it is understandable that all MLS data is not accessible. We understand that. However, the sales letters are provided to the county for the purpose of giving the information to the county on what a unit was sold for. So for the same period of time, if people return sales letters, then the question is, what happened to that data? What then was assigned to those same parcels in 2009? Is that clear?
It's not telling me that I have them on at 188%.
Of their true market value, 188% of the sales
what
letters.
What they told you on the sales letter?
No. No.
Well, I have a printout of the whole county sales letters.
Can we see them?
Sure. Here's what I'd like to ask the question. I get a little confused just like everybody else does, and I think probably everybody in the audience. And we've sat
That's
here and we
saying.
Went through
data.
And every time we have something presented to us, we have sales comparisons on those properties. Well, if a person has a sales letter that they want to send back, and they get a letter and they say, send back the value that you give or the sales price that you give, and it was somewhere comparable to what they thought it should be, and they thought, well, now look, if I send this letter back in, is it going to affect my taxes in a certain manner? Or if I bought it under a distress sale, as we've had people come in here and say they bought condos for $47,000 from a depressed state, and whenever you talk about a depressed state, that means that it's a bank has sold it, it's in a foreclosure, whatever. So they send that letter in, and they say to this board, I've sent you a letter that shows you that I give $47,000 for this piece of property, and you've got me taxed for what the fair market value is of whatever our comparisons are, which is $100,000, which automatically makes your percentage doesn't mean a thing.
That's true, but the converse is also true, Mr. Strahan.
It sets a minimum is what it does.
Mrs. Walden has told you so far on this board, residential properties have to go up 47%. $500,000 condos has to be dropped in half.
Mr. Strahan.
That's exactly the message delivered here.
Commissioner Strahan. That's overreaction.
Commissioner Strahan, you're right that someone has a motive to send in a sales letter. Whether they do or not is a different matter, but they have a motive to understate the value of their real estate and understate the value of the sale, especially when they're sending it to the assessor and they know that that could be used for their tax purposes, which would make suspect anything that's over 100%. It would set a minimum value for that property, certainly. When you send back a sales letter, you're not going to send back a sales letter that overstates the value of your property. You don't have a motive to do that.
Right, which is what the residential shows. What that would show is that a person who bought a non-condominium parcel in the county sent back, if your theory is correct, that would mean that somebody on the residential side sent back a value that was in excess of what it was worth, and the assessor went then and lowered it to 78% of what they said on that sales letter. If your theory is true across the board.
Well, one thing. The boardwalk and the promenade are the worst examples up there.
That's true.
Now, those are the ones that... Is that the current deal? We have reduced those time after time because at the very first of these meetings, James admitted that on the data that he had at the time that he originally set these things, he had erroneous data and they were too high. We lured the devil out of it.
That's the data you're getting to look at today to say I'm two times too high.
This is data as of June 1. So if you've made a decision to lower the values of those parcels since June 1, it's not reflected there.
That is false data as of June 1. Check the records of the assessor's office for January 1, 2009. I did not get but two calls from the boardwalk in the spring when the increase notices went out. I got two calls. Mrs. Walden's letter went out then, summoning these people to rally later on, and I've got calls since then saying, what's this letter of assessment? And I said, you didn't get nothing from the Taney County Assessor's Office. Oh, they said this is from Mrs. Walden. Sorry. She's telling information on the boardwalk is incorrect information.
It may be incorrect as of today.
She's showing you.
Hold it. What I'm saying is that the reason that I don't believe that as of now is the fact that we have lowered those kind of almost across the board.
You're probably absolutely correct. This was data obtained from the Information Systems Department here at the county prior
June
to June 1.
We didn't start meeting until the 15th of June.
Okay,
so you never lowered a boardwalk, Mr. Rose.
Mr. Rose.
You never lowered a boardwalk.
Mr. Chairman, may I address the fact that we have said, and we're sitting here and we're talking about the boardwalk because it's the one that's out of sight. It's up to, you know, it's way up the top. Have we not, under the recommendation of the assessor on the promenades, lowered them to the sales value that they give?
All day long.
All day long, everyone brought in. So what you bring to us before we have the BOE session and we make those arguments that you bring to us, that's our job to equalize. We ordered those to the sales value. Now, the boardwalk, I can't tell you because we go through these books of these things, each individual one. But the data that you're supplying is false according to what's went on in this Board of Equalization.
Sir, the information that I'm using today is the information that's readily available prior to the time that you're required to file a BOE application. I have no ability to use the changes that the Board of Equalization has made since the deadline for filing because we're all given that same deadline by statute. So the information I'm using is the information that was current up to prior to the time the Board of Equalization started meeting. You may have made some corrections. That still does not change the fact that even if you lower them to the sales value, there is still a difference between the residential ratio and the condominium ratio by nearly 25%.
If the boardwalk is false, there's other false statements on that screen.
Sir,
and the boardwalk is false.
It was not false.
As of January 1, 2009, your boardwalk information is totally false.
I think we're looking at an awful lot of information, and there may be an exception here or there or something, but we can't base and sit here and argue for 2 hours over one segment of it.
Right. That supports the uniformity argument she's bringing
she
in.
Providing and what she is providing, such as the promenade, is probably correct, and that's why we made the decisions to lower it. So I would have to say that on the boardwalk, we've not heard any of those.
I don't believe we've heard any boardwalk, but like you, we just need to get through the information so that we can.
For what it's worth, on the boardwalk, got a copy of the increases this year, and it appears there's maybe 30 or 40 boardwalks, something like that, that received increases from last year of a value of $72,200 up to $102,410, an increase of $30,000.
Is that reflective of a 200% increase? Jim?
I'm just making a statement.
That is not an increase. That percentage is not an increase. That is not what that percentage shows.
My point is, I'm not sure what my point is, except we're going on about boardwalk. This year, the assessment has been raised from 72 to 102 on a number of properties.
Has this board heard any of those cases?
I don't know.
Her stats are only as good as the information that she's received, and she's received the information from the county, and she says she has the backing for it. If her information's bad, her figures are bad, but shouldn't we hear what her argument is?
Yeah, we need to go ahead and hear the...
Okay.
One question that you gave me.
Sure.
This is a listing of what now?
Those are the sales letters that were returned to the county in 2007.
To correct the values for January 1, 2009, Dr. Rose, and all that chart on that side has been corrected.
What I'm saying, when I look at this, I see vast groups that I know property was sold that's not in this data.
Sir, that
I can't believe that none of them sent back a letter.
All I know is that's the complete printout of the chart that I got from the county.
What percentage of people send back letters, James?
30% of the people send back letters, and about 10% of those are incorrect because they'll put their $40,000 worth of furniture in their sale. The assessor has to determine which are accurate, which are not accurate, and sometime make calls to people. Did you include your furniture and fixtures in your $500,000 condo, or did you not? So to take this number, reflect a chart that's supportive of her uniformity argument is very disturbing for the assessor. Maybe the chart's wrong. Yeah, I'll say maybe the chart's wrong, but you have seen the evidence presented to support the uniformity argument, and it's false information.
I would submit that if you take the data in culmination, it's all very consistent. Again, this data was obtained from the county. I'll continue on with the argument.
Please.
And
please.
Go ahead,
please.
My reaction, for example, this gives a general feeling, I think, to everyone that the property is, overall, is under-assessed. We already know that because the state is holding back some $700,000 of our money because they say the assessor has under-assessed the property. That whether or not it is fair, that's the question. Have all things been done equally? That's what we're supposed to be determining and we're listening to you about. Go ahead.
That's right. Okay. So just to summarize what we've looked at so far are the comparison between what a property sold for and what they're currently valued at. The difference between residential parcels and condominium parcels that are classified as residential is that there's nearly a 25% difference between the value assigned and what it sold for. Okay?
One quick question.
Sure.
Do you have the same information on sales letter percentages by sales value of that chart for 2008?
I don't. Unfortunately, the 2008 sales letters that I have, it was incomplete at the time that I got it, so I didn't feel it was representative because it was not for the full year. Okay, so the reason for the argument this morning in relation to the sales letters as well as the MLS data is that like classification of real property is to be uniform and is supposed to be the same among like classes of property. The case law and the statutes say that there can lawfully be no subclassifications of realty for taxation purposes among the same classification of property. So, for all residential parcels, they should hold the same ratio of value, sales to market value set by the assessor.
But if the 2008 sales data showed on this chart that you had that,
mm-hmm.
that property values had dropped 10% overall on the average, then that would move the assessed value 10% closer to the market value. Is that correct?
I'm not entirely sure. Are you saying that if a sales price had gone down by 10%?
If the average sales prices of homes
mm-hmm.
had dropped 10%.
If that were true on single-family homes, non-condo, residential, that would be true. But the same is true of condominium units, which I'll get to in a minute. The prices on all and the sheer value, the sheer number of transactions has dropped on all of them almost at the same rate. So it would make the ratio better on residential, but worse on condominium units. Okay? So what we've requested today on the condominium units that are in the appeal list that you have is that the values be reduced to a level that is at a ratio closer to what the residential parcels are. And on each BOE application you have for each condominium unit, you have a proposed value from me. The proposed value was determined by looking at this data as well as each unit type. One of the issues in relation to condominium units is that if you looked at two-bedroom condominium units at the Links at Thousand Hills, they have a value that is drastically different. I would submit that the same type of property, the same size of property, should have the same market value if it's the true market value, not just looking at sales data. So what we've requested is that the condominium units that we've appealed this morning be reduced by 30% of what they're currently valued at today in the assessor's office, which would reduce them down to the same ratio equal to non-condominium units in the county. Go ahead, Mr. Strappas.
The parcels you're identifying, where is that list of parcels? Was that the scanned-in list?
We do not have that.
I guess I'm trying to follow along. You're suggesting 30% decrease on parcels but where's that parcel list?
Donna has a list of all the condominium parcels, and I'm sorry if you don't have that this morning.
Do you have this list with you?
I have. Is it this? Is that the same list here?
No, that's the sales letter list, Mr. Straffis.
Is there a tab here?
Is there? Is it in the book?
With the numbers only in our book?
Yeah, it's attached to that, and plus we have it on the open book.
Okay, it's in the book.
Okay.
On your regular that we've been using
for
the last meeting,
uh-huh.
You can flip to the back of that.
Okay.
There should be a list of all parcels, unit owner, and BOE number
okay.
associated with all the condominium parcels.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
If you're alleging uniformity, James asked about what uniform was. It'd be nice to know what your definition of uniformity is. And the remedy being the average of assessment for the classification, it'd be nice to know what that figure is and how you arrived at it. Are you going to get there eventually? Or
yes,
okay.
I believe I am.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'm good. You can continue on.
Okay. I was just going to refer back to the statute again, requiring that the Board of Equalization compare the average valuation of real property of like classifications. That's the reason for the request for the 30% in reduction. And I believe if you look at this data along with the previous charts, you'll see that there's a variation of between 28 and 30%. That's the reason we've requested a reduction in the overall value for the condominium parcels on your list of 30%. Go ahead.
Are you saying that a two-bedroom, two-bath condo in the Links should be the same as one at Point Royale?
Absolutely not. What I'm saying is that a two-bedroom, one-bath condo at the Links should be the same as another two-bedroom, one-bath condo at the Links.
She's saying that it should be at the same percentage of true market value as the other residential units.
I would like to. I apologize. I'm looking at a chart that says promenade condominiums compared to residential properties in Taney County, Missouri. Promenade condominiums are 100% a commercial venture, does not even fall in the subclass of residential. And it's on this chart to reflect non-uniform values.
So this is to show the ratio of what the sales letter said to what the valuation is.
Is the promenades a commercial venture?
Are they commercial relevant to residential? It's a different subclass. He does have a point.
But from your ratio study,
yes,
it's the same ratios. You're just talking ratios.
Yes.
Okay. Not the classifications.
The classification is important, and we'll get to that in a little bit because
sure.
These are condominium units sold as residential properties. The declaration of the condominiums say they're residential properties. So for the purposes of determining the values of these properties, the sales values. Because as I understand, it is the sales values that is used to determine the value of these properties.
Now, Carrie, you just said something denying the promenade belong to the Hilton Hotel and are all commercial properties. Are there any others up there?
That's not true. The Promenade Condominium, not the hotel. The Promenade Condominium is owned by single condominium unit owners. It is not owned by one entity.
Did you check the assessor's records and see how many of them are fully commercial properties?
I'm not sure. You mean currently classified as commercial properties?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they all are.
Okay.
But that's
any
a further
others
argument.
On that list that have commercial properties involved on that chart?
Absolutely, but that's a further argument today on the classification.
That's right, but you have presented that in a uniformity argument of residential properties. You said you compared all these as residential condominiums.
The
assessor should not devise any place between residential subclasses, and yet you've included commercial properties.
Okay, I'm gonna move on, but what I would say is that you and I have had a lot of conversations, Mr. Strahan, and what you've told me is that you've used condominium sales values to determine the value of condominium units in the county. You've not used the other types of commercial classification valuation approaches for these condominium units. Is that true?
I did not build a chart as residential values and then use commercial in there when we all know you will pay a lot more for a commercial venture in a condo than you will if you live in one.
That's actually not true. The case law says that a commercial property actually holds a lower value than a residential property because of the additional costs of ownership, taxes, insurance, and the lack of income stream.
Then why these poor people pay that for them?
That's not a decision for me to make. I'm going to move on.
Okay.
I'm going to move on. So what we've requested is on each BOE application, as well as the list that you have for the parcels, to reduce the value as they're currently set for 2009 down 30% of what they're currently valued at. The reason for that is the difference in the ratio in condominium sales as compared to the average residential sales ratio in and for the parcels that I've appealed inside the Branson School District, because those are the most similar parcels in the same taxing district. In addition to looking at the MLS data and the sales data, what we've looked at is the overall picture of what condominium units are valued at and what residential parcels that are non-condominium are valued at. Is that clear? Okay.
The only thing that I do see, and maybe I'm misunderstanding a little bit, but I think is a point, if you take the assessed value versus the sales value.
It's not the assessed value, it's the market value set by the assessor.
The market value and the assessed value. Residential is 19% and commercial is 32%. Would that not skew this ratio
no.
a little bit?
No, these are determined on market value. So it's basically if you take the assessed value divided by 32% if it's commercially classified, divided by 19% if it's residentially classified, that would not skew this chart. Okay?
I just want to make sure on that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to chart number on page 5. It would be your page 6. Oh, yep, there you go. This shows, this is also in relation to page 10 in the legal memorandum relating to the number of recent sales and the overall sales value of parcels from 07 to 09. Again, going back to the fact that what we've requested here is a reduction in the overall value of the condominium units that we've appealed, and the reason for that is not only their relation to residential, but also the trends in recent sales in the county. This shows the number of MLS closings of condominium units in Taney County from January 2007 to June of 2009. So you can see a very drastic decrease in the overall number of transactions, which I think, again, goes to what the market value of a property is. And I'll get into the average sales price in just a minute, but I want to just run through this really quick. If you could go to the next page, please. Page 7 on this shows the number of lots sold in Branson Hills. The reason that Branson Hills was used is because those are the residential lots that I've provided you with. You should have a list of residential lots. Is that correct, Donna?
Yeah, we have that.
Okay.
All I have is this.
Okay. The category of residential lots that were appealed today, this shows the decline in the number of closings from 2007 to 2009. Okay. Ending in June of 2009 of this year, okay? When we talk about recent sales, it's important to take into consideration not only the number of sales, but also the average sales price. In the condominium, in the MLS data, the average sales price in 2007 of a condominium unit in Taney County was $193,492. In 2008, the average sales price of a condominium unit in Taney County, this is the countywide, $141,468. So that is a reduction in overall sales price of $50,000 in 1 year. Okay? So what that shows is not only have we had a decline in the number of transactions, which would suggest that there are fewer willing buyers out there, as well as a reduction in the overall average sales price of a condominium unit. Okay?
Did you happen to, while you were doing that, figure the amount the assessor had that $141,000 average on? I didn't hear you give that number. It'd be real easy to get because you've got all of our information.
I have it all. I don't have it printed out right here, James. But what the next slide will show is the difference between the decline in the average sales price and the average increase in condominium valuations from 07-09. If you would go to page...
Carry those years were 2007
and 2008.
192 to 141.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's my understanding that because the valuation is to be set on January 1, 2009, I did not pull sales after January 1, 2009, other than to show you the trend in the number of transactions. If you would go to your page 5, please. It's page 4 in your packet. This shows the average percent increase in value from 2008 to 2009 for those same parcels sold in 2007 and 2008. What this shows is that what we just talked about, the average sale price in condominium units was $193,492. The average sales price was $141,468. But what happened was that the valuation of these parcels was increased from 08 to 09. So again, we're looking at sales that happened in 07 and 08 to determine what happened to the value in 2009. On the non-condominium units, they were increased by about 5%. The non-condominium units inside Branson were at 7. The countywide non-condominium parcels were increased 5%. If you look at the same period of time that we just talked about for the decrease in average sales price on condominium units, you can see that the average valuation set by the assessor went up 16.3% on residential condominium units in Branson, and in the county, they went up 40%. So if the value went down by $50,000 from 07 to 08, that should say that either the valuation set by the assessor's office should stay the same if they were low, or decrease if not, because of the trend in the sales price, they went up. And they went up by 40% in the county.
But how does that 40% rate to the market value of those same particular units is the question.
That's what I'm saying, is that the decrease in the average sales price and the increase in the average valuation.
But you don't have the assessor's value put up there of what he actually had him appraised for versus that?
That's what I'm asking.
The
county residential condos went up 40%.
That's right.
But if the average sales price for those same ones are still higher than that, then they're still not up to market value. Or did the increase take them above the market value?
Well, I think we've seen on the previous slide that it took them above market value, but I'll see. I think I have it printed out here. Just one second.
The previous slide you had, my only question again was going back, was that was only on 07, and it did not include 08. You're including 08's reduction here. And
right.
I think that's throwing a little bit of a
okay.
A bad
picture. Here we go.
I mean, I agree with all your data. It's just that the one chart that you had up there is strictly on 07 values that you got from the county. It does not, and if you take 08s, that lowers that down, which means the average price of the assessment increases.
That's right. I've got them right here. I apologize. It just is not on that chart. For Branson residential units, or parcels, okay, in 2007 and 2008, there were 267 sales in that category of property, okay? The average sales price was $97,478.
Average or median?
I'm sorry. The median sales price was $97,478. The current valuation set on those parcels to make sure I'm giving this to you correctly. Okay, I said it backwards. I apologize. Sales price, $180,868. Current value set by the assessor, $97,478.
It goes up that first slide.
It's very close to that very first slide.
Real close
but
to
it's,
the same slide.
That's on residential properties?
That's inside Branson. So it's a 59% ratio between the sales price and the market value set by the assessor's office.
So
if you look at the same period of time, so that's 59%, okay? If you look at the same period of time for condominium units inside Branson, there were 365 sales. This is 07 and 08, mm-hmm. not just 07.
So chart 1, that's going back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The sales price was $95,753. Value set by the assessor was $75,173. 86.84% of what they sold for. Okay? So it goes back to chart one.
Yeah.
Okay? So, back to the recent sale information. The recent sale data not only shows that the decrease in the valuation and the increase, excuse me, the decrease in sales price, increase in valuation. Also, if you look at the trend through today on sales prices, we have MLS data that shows that there are condominium units, for instance, I have a listing and a sale for a cabin at Grand Mountain that is currently valued in 2009 for $183,894, but sold for $112,500. Okay, so again, I understand the value is to be set on January 1. What I'm discussing now, the recent sales and the trend and the decrease in value. Okay,
one is off that far. Mm-hmm. Did you check and see whether or not it was a distressed sale? In other words, a bank had foreclosed a property. We've ran into a number of these.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden it looks like a steep drop. Then you find out who sold it.
It was somebody
who had repossessed it and just dumped it.
I would like to present to the board at this time, but it'd be up to you, on the Boardwalk Condominiums. Here's one sold January 5th, 2009 for $635,000. I've got to look at it real strongly because we've just got that Boardwalk condominium on for $539,000. Shame on me.
Okay. I would just like to submit that is the value. That's the January 5th, 2009 sale. Again, my understanding is the value is to be set January 1.
I understand.
So.
Let's go on through the presentation. Then we may have a bunch of questions.
Wait just a second, Jim.
Well, I'm going to have a bunch of questions at the end.
I know. Okay. We're going to have a bunch of questions at the end, but she just got through showing data for their reasoning is data from January 1st, 2009 till June.
Right.
She just got through arguing that that's not, with what he said on a January 5th sale, that that's not important.
No, that's not what I said. I said that's the same as what I was talking about. It was after January 1, 2009. That's all I said.
But you included it on your chart, didn't you?
Just in the decrease in the number of transactions to show a trend. That's all I was
saying. So what I'm saying is, so you showed it on your chart as evidence in your behalf, but you don't want the January 5th, which doesn't matter.
No, that's not. I didn't say it didn't matter.
You're
I just wanted
the value or. You didn't use the value after January?
No.
Number of sales.
I used number of sales just to show the trend. That was it. And I did not say that sale was unimportant. What I said was
we're going to go get a whole bunch of those. I just wanted to bring you one.
Okay. So this, just to wrap up what we were just talking about, the ratio of the sales prices to the market value set by the assessor's office, the sales letter data, and the number of recent sales and the value in recent sales, the decrease in sales price from 2007 to 2008, I believe is very strong evidence for why the condominium units in the county should be reduced. The condominium units that we've appealed today should be reduced by 30% of what they're currently valued at by the assessor's office. Okay. I'd like to move on to the next segment of the argument. Do you want to ask questions on that first, or do you want me to go through the entire presentation?
I'm comfortable with you going on, but there's four other board members.
I'm fine.
Okay, that'd be fine. The next part of my presentation will relate to only those condominium units that are currently classified as commercial. Okay, and those are the condominium units that, as we've talked about in the past, are the ones that have put their units on nightly rental or didn't return the response to the assessor's questionnaire about whether or not it's on nightly rental. Those condominium units that we've appealed today are currently classified entirely residential. Our proposition on those particular condominium units is to split the classification between residential and commercial based on the number of nights that those units are actually rented. Okay, and I'll get into some reasons why in a moment, but the average split on the condominium units that we've appealed here today is 30% commercial, 70% residential. Okay. The
question, James, do we have a choice on that?
I'm in total agreement with Carrie on this one. that's what I did as the assessor and was ordered by the Supreme Court that I was doing it wrong.
and that's what has been
proposed. That's what I thought, that we'd been ordered.
And the state tax commission.
They were doing the same thing. They were doing the same thing as James, and then down came Dominion Hospitality versus Shipman, who's the St. Charles assessor, and they said what the current law is, but it's very confusing what the current law is, but they're talking about availability for rental. If it's primarily available for transient rental, then it becomes commercial. That's what they've said.
I was in 100% agreement with Kerry, or I wouldn't have followed that procedure. I followed it from 1999 through 2004. The Supreme Court and the State Tax Commission ordered me no, helped withhold the funds from Taney County because of this situation. So basically, I have to abide by the law as a sworn officer of the county.
Are you aware of that, Kerry?
Of course, yes. I'm sure you are aware of that. I have arguments in contradiction to the Dominion Hospitality case, okay. And I'd like to go through them this morning. I'm sure
you're aware of that, but what I'm wondering is
why
you would go against state law in this case that was brought before each of us, and there was over 100 of us went to class in Springfield to sit through this Board of Equalization, and we understood that there was common ground argument on James had on commercial properties that applied to, say, motels or elevator space and all this, and we were stricken down by that thought, and the state said to us that if it's available, not that it was rented, but if it was available for rent, that it was commercial use.
I understand.
And so you're asking for us to do something that is totally, again, what the state of Missouri, I can't figure out why you can't take this case and take your unified people to the state level and try to get the law changed to where it's more fair, other than look to this board to try to do something that's illegal.
I'm not asking you to do anything that's illegal, first of all. Second of all, the reason I can't take it to the state level is because we are charged, as the taxpayers are charged, with the obligation to exhaust their administrative remedies. They have to start with you all. And as the Board of Equalization, you have an obligation and a duty, like we talked about at the beginning, to look at the data and look at the information and make a determination, in your opinion, based on what's been presented, not just to say, this is a tough call, let's send it to the State Tax Commission. It is your job to look at the information and look at the data. And I have arguments as to why I believe Dominion Hospitality does not apply in these situations.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with what you're doing, except you're asking this board to lower to 30%. And you're talking about law that is sent down by the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals to change the law? I don't understand
no,
that.
I'm not asking for the reduction in value.
She's got an argument that falls outside that court case, and she wants to present evidence that's outside the ruling. Basically, this doesn't – the data – make sure I understand. You're going to present data, you're saying, that doesn't apply to what the Supreme Court –
I believe there are some very distinct differences between the case in Dominion Hospitality and the situation of condominium units in Taney County.
And yes. You're wanting us to take it upon our shoulders to question that.
I would like you to listen to the argument,
You would like for us to listen to the argument and take it upon our shoulders to go against the Supreme Court ruling.
And this was part of the reason monies have been withheld from Taney County. I would ask, Kerry, and you know I support you in this one. You know I support you strongly. We have told you and others to take this back to the Supreme Court, not on the shoulders of Taney County, on the shoulders of the condominium owners, and get the timeshare people with you, get the Supreme Court convinced with the argument you're fixing to put in front of this board. This board has no right to vary from what our attorney has advised this board to do, and it has harmed the citizens of Taney County drastically, even the same condominium owners you're in here arguing for. It's harmed them drastically.
I understand, Mr. Strahan, and what I would like for you to do is to listen to the argument that I believe is in contradiction to Dominion Hospitality, and then you can confer with Mr. Paulson, your counsel, and make a determination. But I would like to continue because I think there are some very distinct differences between the two.
After hearing your argument, then we can deny, and that way you have the right to appeal to state.
That's correct.
So they've exhausted their effort to choose this.
And just so we're clear this morning, I want to make sure I understand what you said, Danny, in that this is not the reason for the reduction in value. This is the reason for the change in classification. Those are two different arguments. So at the conclusion of this morning, I'd like to be just very clear that we're asking for, on the commercial condominiums, we're asking for reduction in value as well as a change in classification, just so that's clear.
And the reduction in value is based on uniformity. You're not saying that they don't have the true market value. Actually, you're saying that they're a little low on median on the true market value. What you're saying is based on uniformity and comparing to all the other properties that it should go down. And then your second argument is classification. You'd like it to be residential or at least percentage residential rather than commercial.
That's absolutely true.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Paulson. Okay. This is on page 13 of your packet. It's page 14 in yours. It's just a legal argument, so that's probably pretty difficult to see. But the argument here this morning is that the classification be split between commercial and residential based on the percentage that these condominium units are actually rented out. Okay? According to 137.016.4 of the Missouri statutes, where real property is used or held for use for more than one purpose, and such uses result in different classifications, the assessor shall allocate to each classification the percentage of the true value in money of the property devoted to each use. So that's the basis for our argument this morning, okay? The reason that we're requesting the split is that we believe that a portion of the condominium units can be classified as residential and a portion of them should be classified as commercial. 137.016.1 subsection 1 defines residential property as all real property improved by a structure which is used or intended to be used for residential living by human occupants. Okay? If you jump down about halfway through that paragraph, it says, but residential property shall not include facilities used primarily for transient housing. For the purpose of the section, transient housing means all rooms available for rent or lease for which the receipts from the rent or lease of such rooms are subject to sales tax. Okay?
What does primarily mean?
Okay, so there's three sections to my argument here, just to try to narrow it down. One is the intention for its use. The second is primarily for transient housing. And the third is subject to sales tax. Okay? The first part of that is in relation to the Shipman versus Dominion Hospitality case, the court determined that a property, which was Town Place Suites Marriott, was to be taxed at the commercial rate because the facility made more than half its rooms available for short-term occupancy. The more than half piece is the part I want to talk about in terms of primarily. Okay, so if more than 50% of the rooms are available for nightly rental, in that case, the court said it was to be classified entirely commercial. Okay, the question then is, what happens if it's less than 50% and what is availability? Okay, all right. So moving on to the intended to be used part, which I think is the piece that's important in terms of availability. In the Dominion Hospitality case, the property was Town Place Suites Marriott Hotel. It was a commercial property, zoned as a commercial property, owned by one individual, and it was rented on a nightly basis as a hotel. In that particular case, the court looked at the fact that all those rooms were available for nightly rental. It just happened that part of the time they were used for more than 30 days. It was like a Value Place hotel or someplace where you can stay at a hotel, but you can get a cheaper rate if you stay there for longer. Okay? The difference here is the condominium units that we're talking about that are commercially classified currently that are on a nightly rental program are owned by single individuals. They are not owned by one entity. They are owned as residences. If you look at the declaration and covenants for the condominiums of each of the parcels that I've brought to you today, and there are numerous ones, I've pulled two declarations to read to you the particular provisions. And this, again, goes back to the intended use of the property. On the links at Thousand Hills, The use restrictions say that the condominium unit is to be used solely for residential purposes and no business, profession, or other commercial activity of any type shall be operated from or out of the condominium unit, except that they can put it on nightly rental if they so choose. But the property was defined, designed, and applied for as a residential condominium parcel, not as a hotel, not as a single project that's owned by one entity and marketed as one entity. Okay? So that's the part that I think is really important in the intention for use that's different from the Dominion Hospitality case, because it's basically the exact opposite, where in that case, a property was designed as a hotel, marketed as a hotel, held out as a hotel, and then they were able to rent it in some cases for longer. Whereas these properties are designed, built, sold as residences, mortgaged as residences, and then they have the option to put them on nightly rental if they so choose. Okay?
One question here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you realize that where these condos are owned by an individual. Sometimes these are people like from California or somewhere else that has never even seen the property. They put it in the rental program. It's an investment. And they have the option, if they rent it on a monthly basis or longer, that it is not classified as commercial property.
Yes.
Dr. Rose, I hate to interrupt at this point, but I know people's starting to get up and leave. These people that's here today, I believe, are residential owners, have jobs that they like to go to and make a living. I believe they've appeared here on behalf of residential properties, not interested in hearing. And it's interesting to me, Carrie. I understand. It's very interesting. But I just wanted to make you aware that these people are not condominium. I don't know whether you ask it the first, but most of these people out here are not condominium owners, and they, I'm sure they would like to be.
But Carrie has the allotted time from 9 to 11:30.
You're not going to take a break between 9 and 11:30. I'm a 55-year-old man. Just turned 55, sir.
I wish I was that young.
I'm asking for a recess.
If I could make a quick point to follow somewhat James has said, I've made two motions that didn't get second since this BOE to set our 09 values at 08 to not have any raises in 08, whether it's a condo or residence or whatever it is, except for new construction, and that's a different bunch. You're asking this board for us to lower condominium units that you've been talking about, 30%. There's been some mention of raising residential rates, and James mentioned most of the folks, and I recognize quite a few, that don't own condos or just residential owners. Are you asking us to raise to equal, or are you only asking us to lower the condos that you represent to 30%?
Sir, I don't believe I have the power to ask you to do anything other than to lower the parcels that I've submitted appeals for. And the reason for that is I believe the law is very clear. The Board of Equalization can do what they like to equalize the county, but each separate parcel has to be appealed separately. I'm here on behalf of 425 parcels, some condominium, some residential, some commercial condominium units, and some residential lots, as well as a few others that I'll cover at the end. So, no,
I had
sir.
Questions on her uniformity argument, what her remedy was, and that sort of thing, and she never did get to that portion, but I was going to ask that when she was done with her whole presentation.
There were points made that maybe this issue is about raising residential, and that's what I was trying to clarify.
If you're going with the uniformity argument, it's straightforward. If you lower some to get them uniform, you have to raise the others. Uniformity is a general argument to property values. But it's not a particular property when you're arguing uniformity.
That's not true.
But we're talking numbers, and as you talked about earlier, you take out the high and the low. She's representing how many? 425 or something?
That's correct.
And we've got, 30,000 that haven't had any raise at all.
I just sent Kenny out to print out the information on the promenades and boardwalks, and it's nothing related to the charts. I can hand you.
Just to answer your question, I think all she can is she's presenting the 425 parcels. That's all she's presenting.
That's right.
And if we feel that she's proved uniformity, we can give her the average for the classification in which she is, which I believe is residential, unless you make some argument, if you're convinced. Now, this board has the authority to do either, as James has said.
If on the boardwalk, James, I look
Dr. Rose,
I look through the boardwalk list that Carrie has given us, trying to find some boardwalks, and I guess they're in there, surely are, but I couldn't find them looking for the number. My point is...
Right, there they are.
No, my point is the figure that she placed on there that looks so out of range may be on one or two properties.
Start passing them down.
Well, before, I mean...
Before we go any further, yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm going... Since there are some old people here, I'm going to call a 10-minute recess so that people in the audience or the board may go get a drink of water or whatever else they want or stretch their legs.
So we'll be back in 10 minutes?
And we'll be back in 10 minutes. And you will continue.